coming from the University of Winnipeg, Centennial Hall, 4th and a half floor, sandwiched between the toxic smell of microwaved popcorn toppings and the sound of flushing toilets, you have reached the windowless paradise that is CKUW 95.9 FM. Listener-driven radio with a little something for everyone.
Welcome to Bridging the Gap. I'm your host, Marianne Rose. You are about to embark on a relevant and timely journey of thought with registered psychologist Dr. Cyrus Dirksen. Thank you for tuning in and expect to be enlightened right now.
Hey there, Cyrus.
Hey, Marianne.
How are you doing?
Very good.
Of course you are.
Yes,
yeah,
definitely.
You just did the dream.
I just did the dream. I was away in a warm place.
Yeah.
Went to Mexico.
During the coldest week in our history.
There's been a few times we've gotten away, never in the middle of winter, never this time, but every time we have left, you know, a little bit later in the season when things are cheaper. And invariably, it's always a beautiful week when we leave, and it's very frustrating. So it was actually kind of nice to know that it was very cold here.
You were escaping the cold. You were doing the thing everybody wished they could do.
Yes. I get very happy looks, and then there's a little bit of something else in the eye that comes back at me when I tell them where I was. And
well, you brought
that's
back
okay.
the good weather.
Yes, that's true.
That's what I was hoping for.
Oh, nice. Yes. So, it's very nice to see the forecast warming up.
Huge jump.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the strange things in the weather was describing something about our pressures, the low pressure, high pressure that we've been in a system of extreme, and now it's going to just go zap the opposite. So if you've got one of those barometers, you can
Makes
check
a difference.
It.
Wow. Yeah. And Natasha said, I think we're done. I think the winter is broken.
Yes, please. Mm-hmm.
Yes, that's what we need.
Yeah, we do. Mm-hmm. So, well, thanks for bringing back the heat.
Definitely.
I appreciate it. Oh, that's so good. Well, what else is new? We've been having fun drive the last couple of weeks for CKUW, and I'm really thankful that it's gone really well. So for now, I would love to talk about, let's just be honest.
Truth.
Yes.
Honesty. In relationship.
Okay, it's time to get real.
Yeah, this isn't easy.
Oh,
it's tough.
Yeah.
It's a real thing. When you talk to people, they want you to be honest, and people will say they want you to be honest. They will encourage it. If you say to almost anybody, can I tell you the truth? They will usually sincerely say yes. If we had an accurate lie detector, I think they'd pass. They're like, yes, I want to know. I want people to be honest with me. And unfortunately, when you actually are finished being honest, you don't always get the response that either of you were hoping for. And that could be really confusing and painful. And it can break relationship and cause resentment and cause all kinds of problems. So how do we navigate this? How do we maintain our relationships and still communicate honestly with each other?
Yeah. Well, maintaining relationships, sometimes honesty hurts so much that it ends something.
Mm-hmm.
Does it end the relationship or does it end a behavior?
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes it's the honesty on a behavior. I need to address this. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's myself.
Mm-hmm.
I have to be honest about my feelings about something.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, those feelings are really drastic.
Mm.
I don't know if I can handle it. And so what you're presenting is the opportunity for somebody to reject your honesty. But is it better than being dishonest?
Right.
I would say yes.
Yeah. It's so important to kind of be able to get that message across and to be able to share our hearts with each other, right? Like, this is a wonderful thing. And being real, I remember reading a book by Scott Peck, and he wrote a few books, and one of them was on community, and he talked about polite community and real community. I don't remember exactly the terms, but when he talked about this, he referred to this kind of initial polite community that would happen in groups, and he would kill it, and people didn't like him for it. He would go into a group, and he would disrupt the polite community, which was a false community. It was polite. When you say polite, you're almost always talking about lying. He would go in and he would tell the truth. He would be honest about himself or somebody else, and it would crack something. You can visualize it as maybe cracking, breaking ice, and usually it would throw the group. He would describe it as throwing the group into chaos. And it would be scary. And there would be this feeling he described of maybe it's wrecked the group. And people would have emotions, and all of a sudden people were sharing, and it was not always positive. I could talk about it easily now because this isn't happening right now, but in the moment it's very hard for people. And depending on the importance of the group, can be very scary if these are important groups. But he would do it anyway. And then in the end, I don't know exactly if he had percentages. I'm sure there were some failures, but he never talked about it that way. He would talk about the group coming back together into some kind of new unity, new connectedness. But it would be, he described it as being more authentic, and it would be more life-giving. It's definitely more interesting. Fake community also has a characteristic of being very boring. So when you would crack that and go through the chaos, you would get to something that was maybe quite peaceful, not necessarily dramatic, but it would be dynamic in that it's interesting, it's real. And that's what we're searching for. And so even if people are saying, maybe they were saying very similar things before, like, oh, I like you. And then afterwards, this whole chaos thing, and then it's authentic. And it's, oh, I like you. And it's like, well, the I like you that was polite was very flat and meaningless. But the I like you after the chaos, after realizing this is now real and people are telling the truth and they still like me, that feeds the soul. And it's water to a plant. It's life. So, yeah, getting to the heart, getting to truth is so important.
And that part about liking at the end, you may have to go through the shift of being uncomfortable, not liking the way you feel. But it is important to discern. It doesn't have to be about not liking the person because their truth made you uncomfortable. You can hear that and then weigh it to how you're feeling about it and then decide that you can handle that feeling. But it's a challenge. Like, it would be really great if the person who's going in with the honesty can do it strategically and thoughtfully, with kindness. But that takes some effort ahead of time. I'm going to go in with this truth and it may cause some unrest. So how can I go in with that in such a way that it might not? So then there's a strategy you can plan.
I agree. What I'm not saying is, oh, you should do this with every person you meet, every time you meet them and every time you talk. And you should just jump headlong into it and just start being a truth teller to everybody all the time. And you might be like, well, aren't you Christian, Cyrus? Don't you always tell the truth? And it's like, well, let's talk about that. That's an interesting idea. Because if I was to go, you know, I'm walking through the airport, I'm walking past the gate attendant, they're like, how are you today? I hope you have a good flight. I'm not going to give them a bunch of truth bombs in that moment and start talking about them as if they meant literally. I think there's a literalness that we get into when we start talking about truth. And I think there's a wonderful place for polite community where, which again is false in some sense, but I don't consider that lying because everybody knows it's false. It's not a betrayal if everybody's aware of it. It's just polite. It's an awareness of how social etiquette works and what people really mean. When the person says, oh, how are you doing today? I hope you have a good flight. They're not actually asking how I'm doing. And if I know that and they know that, there's no lie. It's just that our words don't match Webster's dictionary, which doesn't mean it's not a lie. Webster's is not the definition of truth. Social understanding and communicated messages is. And so whatever words we choose, if everybody understands, that's not a lie. So I am very pro the veneer of knowing that we can interact and have small talk, which is basically almost completely false in the sense that nobody's being very deep, in order to have good communication with people who don't have a lot in common and don't really want to get to know each other, but we want to be able to get through the conversation without saying those things and without going into kind of truth depth, because we're just getting through the day and we don't live there all the time. So I think there's definitely a place for the polite community in this conversation and to walk with wisdom in knowing when to kind of go deeper and how to do that.
And the depth of truth that can hit and cause pain can be protected by this. And perhaps it's going to make you feel awkward mm-hmm. to have to protect. Mm. You are being cautious with your mm-hmm. truth. Mm-hmm. You want to speak as honestly mm. as possible, mm-hmm. but you know, or you can even sense or see, there's a reaction. Mm. There's a discomfort. Perhaps you're in a relationship where you're aware that that discomfort mm-hmm. is something that's worn a mm-hmm. lot more mm-hmm. openly. Yes.
Yeah, you can get to know how they express it, right? What, yeah. how, and what is going on for this person in their personality. And I think what you're talking about is so important. And it's the highest form here of social skills, which is knowing that somebody else is different than you and knowing that their words aren't the full message, that you actually have to read that this person may feel differently about whatever you're talking about than you do. And you have to read that it goes beyond words. You're looking yeah. for those expressions in body language, facial expression, the types of words they're using, the tone of voice, the type of situation that you're in, the person's personality. All of these things come to this conclusion about what's going on and what you should do next. And your ability to do that is almost the definition of social skills, to read those cues and then to decide. So that question, like, when do we tell the truth? That's almost the question of social skills.
Yes.
There's a skill to that, to be able to kind of navigate when to go deep and when not to, and how much is too much, because there's a violence to truth.
That's right.
There is a violence to yeah. it.
And you picture it like a flaming sword.
Yes.
It can cut and it could set something on fire mm-hmm. and it's powerful and it's disruptive and all those things are awesome.
Yes. Definitely. It's so good. We want fire. We want interest. We want heat. It brings life. But you don't set somebody on fire. You know, like, and when you look, you might be like, well, again, aren't you a Christian, Cyrus? Is there any discernment when you're just walking around as a truth teller? But if you look at the life of Jesus and how he expressed God's truth to people, he was very careful with the truth. He was a truth teller. But the way that he moderated that fire that cuts to the bone was very much dependent on who he was talking to mm-hmm. and who that person was and what the context was. He talks very differently to the crowd than he does to his disciples. He talks very differently to the disciples than he does to the three closest disciples. He talks very differently to the three closest disciples than he does to the Pharisees and Sadducees, the kind of leaders at the time who were causing problems. And he talks differently to them than he talks to the Father. It's so different. And the level of intimacy and fire, that truth fire. I remember talking to somebody who had pretty clearly an autistic disorder, and they talked about it, and they didn't feel it. They didn't feel the fire of intimacy in the way that everybody else does. And so they would go on the bus, and they would stare at people, and they would make eye contact in this almost intrusive way because they found it fun to watch other people squirm. So there's a violence to intimacy. There's a violence to kind of being able to share something like that, and it can be very inappropriate at times. So again, just because you're about honesty doesn't mean that you share that at a same level with every interaction.
I'm so glad you brought up Jesus, because he had that discernment to be able to know when it could mm-hmm. be used mm-hmm. in a way that was a lot more abrupt mm-hmm. and respected. But then a lot of people left following him too when he was more brutally honest,
yes.
which he needed to be at certain times. So then sometimes the truth that shakes you up, mm-hmm. that creates this conflict that can't be mm-hmm. resolved, because the truth ended something that mm-hmm. wasn't supposed to exist.
That's right.
And that's a really important part of what truth does mm-hmm. in a healthy way. Sometimes it cuts things
yes.
off.
It cuts things
like
off.
Like when we're talking about the sword.
It burns course. It up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it can be in a good way, like mm-hmm. this fragile, beautiful, mm-hmm. gentle way of being able to discern with love going in with that sword, to be able to say something with that tenderness towards another person mm-hmm. that actually cuts off the lie so that it can open up for healing in the relationship. So that mm-hmm. can happen with this truth, but then it can also be in this other way a very healthy thing that cuts mm-hmm. off a lie, yep. but then also cuts off the relationship. And sometimes that happens too.
And that can be very important, powerful. I think there are so many principles. Like if you were to think about this as some kind of like algorithm where you're like, okay, how do you have social skills? There's so many principles that we could create to help us to know when to bring that fire, when to be more honest. So, for example, the Bible brings some where it's like, you want the truth, seek and you will find it, which is this interesting thing, like that truth is something to be sought after. It's like a treasure that the Lord hides and that people seek out. And it's like, well, that's not this picture of somebody just dropping truth on people. And so there's this, like, when you're looking at somebody, it's like, well, how much truth do I get? Well, how much are they seeking it? You know, that would be a wonderful principle to kind of be like, well, are you looking for it? So this idea could be, how have they responded to truth in the past? Like, are they somebody who is able to take the truth and actually digest it and bring it to good fruit in their life? So there's so many different things that you could look at in terms of personality. How emotional are they right now? Does somebody just die in their life? Well, I'm not going to just, you know, give them a bunch of truth about work right now. You know, like, so there's like emotional capacity. There's so many things that you could do. And what you're talking about kind of goes beyond all of it, which is the ultimate way to decide if somebody's ready for the fire, which is God. I mean, there's all of these things that we could come up with. Many of them would be, you know, maybe God recommended or inspired, you know, biblical wisdom that we could take. But in the end, it's too complicated. There's too many factors that we don't know. There's too many factors that we can't apply correctly. And God knows. And so there are times when it could look bad. It could even look like it had a bad outcome, but it's still God. And it's still good. And it's still necessary, which is so frightening for me to say on the radio, which is like, oh, there are times when you could, you know, bring out the truth and it could blow up and it's still God. But I can't get away from that in the Bible, where Jesus does things at times where he looks very shrewd and he looks very careful with the truth and how he's distributing, like I described. But there's also times when he kind of blows things up and he just does the bomb and people walk away. And when to do that is not clear, other than God and just being very close and just pulling on God's wisdom and having us become closer and connected and have his mind so that we can follow that way.
Yeah. And it's a really important part of our process with relationship with him. He wants to lead us into all truth. He is truth. And being able to have his spirit be the guiding light that really helps us to discern those bigger things that we could only get through his voice and his heart. And the closer you are to his heart, the more you know what is and isn't going to work and isn't meant to be spoken or is meant to be spoken. This hard thing I need to say now.
Right. Yes.
If it's by him, it will also be something that is certain within you.
Yeah. Right. And that's another side of it too, which is, I mean, I've been talking about like all these things outside of yourself, you know, God, dynamics, personalities, whatever, all these things that you're reading. And then there's also like you, like you're in this too. What do you need? How important is this to you? Are you dying? Are you being abused? Are you being harmed? How much can you take? How do you manage that? And that is also very important, because it can give us biases, but it can also give us context. It can help us to know where it's like, what needs to happen here? And I think that's so important to be aware of. Like, what am I bringing to the table? How is this affecting me or somebody that I love? What needs to be cut off? How soon? How important is this? And that really also impacts when do we become more honest and bring that fire to the situation.
A scripture comes to mind when you say that is, did you love the truth of God more than a lie? And it comes down to loving his truth more than holding on to something that's a lie. It might be that you get confronted with that truth that becomes more important. And it might be that you have to exercise whether or not you want to go into the pain of revealing it, and that could take some time. I think some people can walk in, and I'm not going to call it a delusion, but in a less than honest type of existence for themselves for a while, and that while could be years, but in the process of relationship and being able to let go of your own fear of the outcome of the lie, rather than what's more important is the truth of God to your heart, you'll be able to discern that by relationship. He becomes more important. He becomes the goal. Truth becomes the goal because he is.
And I think that's so important too, where it's like, are you lying to yourself? Are you operating out of a lie? Because, I mean, one of the things that I think we naturally assume is that we have the truth and the other person has the lie. And this question of, are you loving truth? Are you walking in the truth? It's funny, you know, it's like, do you have the truth? But do you love it at least? Like, are you trying? Are you working towards it? I mean, the Lord says, don't point out the speck in somebody else's eye when you've got a log in your own. So he kind of flips that, where it's like, you know, you think you have the truth and that you're giving the truth, but you might actually be giving a lie. You might be giving something so obscure. You might actually be hurting people with what you've called truth. And so I think that's so important that we love the truth, that we go after the truth. And the Lord's so gracious. I mean, I think in some ways you could say, well, I want to learn the truth faster than other people. I want to be gentle with other people, but I'm going to be like super fast with the truth with myself. But the Lord knows better. Like, it's a process for us to kind of be able to also deal with that fire. Yeah. So just to be lovers of it and to be like, oh, Lord, help me with your truth. Help me with the truth. Give me the truth that I can survive right now. I mean, if God is truth, I mean, he basically says, if you saw me, you would die, you know? And it's like, I don't think I can see the truth, but Lord, help me. So important.
And the survive part is something that you can decide within the context of relationship. You can decide that you're going to survive it to your own hurt.
Right.
Because oftentimes, if you're telling the truth to your own hurt, you're going to do that aware of the fact that it's gonna. And so you're open to doing that, but then you're open to his sword, and it's going to cut.
Yeah.
But in the ultimate picture of what truth is, it's through his love. It's going to set you free from the bondage that the lie would have had you in anyway. So, well, thank you, Cyrus.
Oh, thank you, Marianne. That was wonderful.
Appreciate you tuning in. Please check out more of Dr. Cyrus at maplecrestchurch.ca and at drcyrusdirksen.com. Thanks again, and tune in next time for Bridging the Gap. I'm Marianne Rose.
Sometimes I fail, your mercy remains. Should I stumble again, still I'm caught in your grace, everlasting, your life. losing myself in bringing you praise. Everlasting, your light will shine when all else fades. Never ending, your glory goes beyond all fate. Yeah, my heart and my soul, I give you control. Consume me from the inside out, Lord. Let justice and praise become my embrace. To love you from the inside and praise.